Martin Luther once said, "There is no more lovely, friendly, and charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage." Hi, I'm Rob West. A strong marriage is a blessing, but it also takes intentional effort, especially in a blended family. Today, I'll be joined by Ron Deal and Greg Pettis to discuss a valuable resource for second marriages. And then I'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guests are Ron Deal and Greg Pettis, authors of The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning. Ron, Greg, great to have you back with us today.
Oh, man, it's so exciting to be here. Thanks for having us.
Good to be on.
Well, guys, your book, The Smart Step Family, is loaded with practical financial advice for blended families. I reference it on this broadcast often, but in particular, I want to focus on one area where you've come up with a way for couples in that situation as a blended family to promote peace and unity in their marriage. It's called the Togetherness Agreement, and I'd love for you to start there. What is it, and why is it so important?
Well, let's just start with the context for what we're talking about. Couples who form a relationship when they've had a previous life, if you will. Maybe one of them's brought children to the relationship. They are often in middle age or later in life. They have a history, a financial history. They have debt. They have expense. They have all kinds of investments that perhaps they've been working on for years. And now we're merging. But we're not just merging money. We're merging relationship. We're merging children. We're merging parenting styles. We're merging some sort of loss, death, or divorce has preceded this new marriage relationship. All of that rolls into any conversation about money. I just don't think people realize how complicated that is. It's one thing to say, oh, you know, so you've got what, three bank accounts, and I've got two bank accounts, and we got all these investments. Let's just put all the money together. Well, no. Immediately, it starts to be about trust. And it's about, well, I couldn't trust the former spouse because they took me for every dime I had. So how am I going to make sure that doesn't happen again? It's about provision for me and for my children. I've got an aging parent. How do I care for them? It is about all of those dynamics rolled up into a conversation about how many bank accounts you have. And so when we sat down, Greg and I and our other co-author, David, sat down and said, we want to write a book about financial planning in blended family situations. We have to take into consideration all of these dynamics. So we haven't just created something in the Togetherness Agreement. Greg will tell you a little about that in just a second. It's not just about money. It is about providing and loving well and caring and creating trust in your relationship that goes the distance.
Exactly. It's about clarity on so many of these, like you said, emotionally charged issues. When we said, I do, his kids, her kids, their kids, what did we mean? What were the details around our vision for an optimistic future together? And so we find that the Togetherness Agreement provides clarity to these emotionally charged issues. And in essence, as one couple said, we're writing the rules for our marriage with love and respect for both parties.
And that's what's so key here, is that we want to let love and respect lead, and yet there are very real practical issues that we have to navigate. And Ron, to your point, money issues are heart issues, right? So money is symptomatic of a deeper underlying spiritual values-based conversation that does surface some really tough and yet exciting conversations if we'll lean into them. The question is, we need a roadmap, or how do we get a roadmap to navigate that?
You know, a lot of things about blended families, including marriage and navigating money, have to do with the pain of the past. And pain creates fear. Right? My last spouse really hurt me. I don't want to have that happen again. So I'm going to be guarded with you. Well, you know, fear is not a good way to make decisions about anything. Spiritually, that doesn't work. You know, we don't want to approach God that way. We don't approach the people we love that way. And so we try to help people create this togetherness agreement so it eliminates fear, so that it is no longer a barrier to our oneness.
Well, I'm looking forward to continuing to unpack this. What does it actually look like? Is it a binding legal agreement? What goes into it? What about some of those touchy situations that will come up? What about a business? We'll deal with this and much more. Ron Diehl and Greg Pettis with us today, authors of The Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. Just around the corner, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Life's circumstances often feel confusing. Take Joseph, for example, sold into slavery, falsely accused, imprisoned. His life seemed unfair, but years later, as a ruler in Egypt, he told his brothers, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Previously, Joseph couldn't have seen that sovereign plan, but God was working, using those years of hardship to save his people. And we may not understand our current struggles, but we can trust this. God is working, and we walk by faith, not by sight. The Lord's good purpose for our lives will not fail. Grow in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
On the next Focus on the Family, practical, godly encouragement about navigating life, specifically for teen girls, but really for every member of your family. You'll hear about beauty, managing your time, and creating appropriate boundaries for relationships. All of that and more with Jesse Manassian next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Joining me today are good friends Ron Diehl and Greg Pettis, authors of The Smart Stepfamily Guide to Financial Planning. How do you navigate financial decisions with a blended family? And how do you even memorialize those decisions once you have those conversations? And how do you do it in a way that's respectful and loving? Well, today we're talking about a great tool that Ron and Greg refer to in their book called A Togetherness Agreement, where it provides a roadmap for having these conversations and then memorializing them. And Greg, you actually advise folks to make this agreement, the Togetherness Agreement, a binding legal contract. How will that help? And well, the marriage itself is a binding legal contract.
Yes, it's a great question, and we get it a lot. First of all, it provides specifics that are not clearly outlined in that general marriage binding contract. For example, I mean, the simple is, how many accounts should we have? Should we combine everything together all at once or have two or three accounts? Who gets the business? What does fair mean? Is fair always equal? what are we going to do for our special needs child? What about the rights and roles of, well, grandchildren, step-grandchildren, grandparents, step-grandparents, any party who has a loving interest in our future can be a part of the togetherness agreement. It'll also help the team, your whole financial team, the financial advisor, the attorney, the CPA, all your agents. They need to have an overarching document that explains, why did we decide to do this?
Yeah.
Why? What were we thinking when we did that? And so forth.
You know, as Greg was talking, I was thinking, yes, marriage is a legal binding relationship. And yet, do you want to leave the future to the legal system of your assets and your money? You know, we've talked before about if you are married to somebody and spend 25 years together and your spouse dies and leave you all the assets, and then you marry again in midlife, but don't make specific documents dictating where you want your money to go after you pass away. If you pass away,
yes,
and your second spouse marries somebody else, and then they die, all of a sudden, all your money goes to that person's kids, somebody you've never met, them and their children, instead of your children, unless,
that's right.
You know, that's called inheritance drift, right? It just sort of moves away from you. And nobody intended that. It just sort of happened. Unless you've made provision for where you want your money to go after your death. And in this case, and in that case, I should say, your children are provided for, you're provided for, your aging brother, sister, parent, whatever. Yes. Whatever you're invested in goes where you want it to go. You don't want to just leave it to the legal system. You want to tell that system what to do with the things that you cherish.
That's so important and probably something that most folks haven't considered. Well, perhaps, guys, a story, an example would help to illustrate the power of this tool, the togetherness agreement. In the book, you include a story about a couple, Anthony and Jenny. What was their situation and how did this tool help them?
Greg's going to tell you in a minute a little bit about some of the specifics of what they came up with. But let me just set the stage. This goes back to how we started our conversation, the complexity that blended families often face. So Anthony has children. He also owns a company that he's been invested in most of his life that he's been building. And he meets Jenny, and she's a CPA. She's pretty successful. She's 36 years of age. She has children of her own, and she has an aging mother. Okay, so on the surface, when couples say things like, you know, I love you, you love me, we're going to be a happy family, and I assume that means you'll just care for my kids if something terrible happens to me, and I'll take care of your mother if something terrible happens to you. And the best of intentions don't necessarily work out that way just because you love one another. You really need to put it in writing. You really need to think it through. You really need to talk it through, because it could be that in the course of doing their togetherness agreement, Anthony, he's got an assumption that his oldest son gets his company. He's shown an interest in it. He's been invested in it. He's interned there. He went to college with the intent of learning how to run a business, and he's going to come back and work with dad. And then if dad ever retires, that's been in the works for years before Jenny ever showed up.
Yes.
But if he doesn't express that clearly and openly, Jenny may have some assumptions of her own about what happens if he were to pass away. What happens to the company? Maybe she's got kids that are interested in that business. Okay, so who's going to be in charge with that next generation of leadership? See, that's the kind of, that's the sticky business, getting down into the weeds. A togetherness agreement helps you get proactive so that you have a dialogue and make those decisions before you ever have to deal with it. Greg, remind us what Anthony and Jenny, some of the things that they worked out.
Yeah, so Anthony was a 44-year-old, very successful construction company owner. And as you said, Ron, he had two boys that he had promised were going to get the company one day. Unbeknownst to Jenny, however, during their courtship and dating, he didn't disclose he had a gambling problem with some debt, had a low credit score, had a very controlling ex-wife, et cetera. Now, on the other side, Anthony didn't know that Jenny had really spent a lot of her hard-earned money taking care of her mother, who was aging, as you mentioned. And she had promised her that, hey, Mom, one day you can come live with me. You know, I'll do whatever I can do to help you get through this. And so, you know, during the courtship, these things just don't come out. So often is the case. And so the first thing that the togetherness agreement did is it created an arena for disclosure, an atmosphere for full transparency, which then created a mutual respect. Jenny found out about, you know, Anthony's gambling problem, felt compassion, and they were entering him into a counseling session to get his credit score up. Meanwhile, they were going to, they agreed to have one joint budget account, but to keep two individual accounts until Anthony could raise his scores and get over this gambling problem. They also agreed that though Jenny and her daughter would not receive the company, working with an attorney, they would create a trust and place some life insurance in the trust for Jenny and her daughter. They also worked with their agent to create long-term care solutions for the mother and to provide clarity about their future, which really relieved both of them of a lot of stress and reaffirmed their commitments to each other in a way that they really couldn't go that deep without a togetherness agreement. Now, theirs was a legal document drafted by their attorney, but I wanted to make this point clear. Just having the discussion, just sitting down and even just jotting some things on a legal pad or the back of a napkin will create that first step of transparency in disclosure that will then help navigate these emotional issues.
That's so helpful. Boy, we are about out of time, guys. We're going to have you back because there is so much more I want to talk about here. Ron, quickly, when should this be done?
You know, ideally today. And so if you're dating somebody, now's the time to start having that conversation. And if you're already married and you go, man, we've never really talked about this. I have a lot of assumptions. We've never checked in with one another. Okay, then start today. And the book's designed to help you get a plan and start moving that direction.
I love it. It's an absolutely essential tool for a blended family. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pick up a copy of The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning wherever you buy books. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800 326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So thrilled you're along with us today as we help you manage God's money as a wise and faithful steward. That's our goal here each day, to be hopeful, to be encouraging, to understand, listen, we've all made mistakes, but our goal is faithfulness and to see God as our ultimate treasure, money a tool to accomplish His purposes. So we want to dive into those very specific questions you have in your financial life today as we turn the corner away from our opening topic, which, by the way, was so helpful. I love Ron and Greg, and we will have them back because this is a topic we hear from you so often on. But we want to entertain any financial question today, whether it's you're living, you're giving, you're owing, or you're growing of God's money. You can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'll dive into those questions here in just a moment, but this is the time to get your call in before the lines fill up. Once again, 800-525-7000. Before we head to the phones, in the news today, the legislative game of chicken over funding the federal government continues on Capitol Hill. The House on Tuesday passed the necessary continuing resolution to keep the government running with spending near current levels. Lawmakers voted nearly along party lines, with Republicans for and Democrats against the resolution. You could call it a bipartisan vote, with one Democrat joining with the Republicans on this as we see it move forward. It now goes to the Senate, where 60 votes are needed for passage. Republicans have to convince at least 7 Democrats to vote for the measure to get it passed and onto the president's desk for signature. Without it, the government is set for a partial shutdown at midnight on Friday. We will certainly keep an eye on that for sure. The markets off to a mixed start. We're seeing a little bit of recovery in the NASDAQ, up 1.25% at the moment. The S&P 500 about 0.5% higher. The Dow Jones off just 0.25%. What's moving the markets today? Well, just ongoing uncertainty. We did get a better than expected inflation report. Inflation eased to 2.8% in February. That was lower than expected. We're continuing to see prices come down, eggs down dramatically, energy down quite a bit. We're also seeing a shift from the public market to the private market in terms of where the jobs are being created. All of this is in line with President Trump's plan. Today, Canada imposing 25, or at least they're set to impose 25% retaliatory tariffs on about $21 billion worth of U.S. goods. That continues to unfold. We will watch that play out. In the meantime, the market, even though it's been under some pressure, bottom line is when you factor in just how we're seeing the market perform over the last couple of years and even for the last decade or more, the market is still doing quite well, even though, you know, if you're watching your 401k or 403b pretty closely, and I'd advise against that, not too closely. You don't want to watch every tick of the market. Remember, we're in it for the long haul. The bottom line is, if you put this pullback in context of what we've seen in gains over the last good number of years, we're still doing very well. And we do go through these periods. The market is cyclical, and we're in a bit of a transition as President Trump implements his plan, something we'll continue to talk about, of course, in the days ahead. All right, let's jump into your questions today. Again, that number with lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. The calls are coming in. We're filling up those lines, but we've got room for perhaps one more question at the moment. So go ahead and give us a call. We're going to begin today in Tennessee. Hi, Roger. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rob. I'm 57 years old, and my wife, she just turned the big 5'5", so we currently have no debt. We're getting ready to sell a second home for around $500,000 to $700,000, and we currently have, at our age, we went to low to mid-risk stocks. We have 2 401(k)s. And we were just looking to find out the simplest way to invest. We also have a grandchild looking for a second one, and we'd like to appropriate funds for both of them.
Yeah.
But we don't want to give them the money when they turn 18. We would like to maybe age 24. So is what your advice on that?
Yeah, very good. Well, I appreciate those questions. Let me just ask you, do you have an advisor that you work with, or are you kind of managing things yourself at this point?
Pretty much ourselves.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that might be one thing to consider, especially just given that you're moving, you know, the 401ks are fairly simple to administer. There's a limited menu of investments there. And, you know, a lot of folks use those life cycle or target date funds just to simplify things. You may be picking your own, but at least, you know, there's a constrained menu of options versus, you know, an unlimited number of options outside of a 401k. You've obviously been managing the rental property yourself, or that second home, whether or not it was income generating. But now that you're going to have a significant sum of money outside of real estate and not in the 401k, I think this is where an advisor could really shine to help you build that portfolio that aligns with your values and your priorities, making sure you're not taking unnecessary risk, but yet still focusing on the long term and trying to grow this money to offset the effects of inflation. So certainly you can do that yourself. And if you did, I'd, you know, probably, you know, gather some resources. Our friends at Sound Mind Investing could be helpful. I could point you towards some of the faith-based investing fund families if that was of interest to you. But again, if you want an investment advisor, I'd recommend interviewing two or three certified Kingdom advisors on our website, faithfi.com. Just click find a professional, and any one of those CKAs there in your area could be really helpful to you as you begin to think about investing this. Let's do this, though. I've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about making sure you're ready for any capital gains that you need to pay on the sale of that second home, since it was not a primary residence. And we'll talk about the best options for you to put money aside for the grandchildren if you're thinking beyond college and your ability to control when they receive it. We need to talk about both the type of account and the investments. We'll do that right around the corner. Stay with us.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before the break, we were talking to Roger in Tennessee. They are selling a second home. They're going to net anywhere from $500,000 to $700,000, looking for guidance on how to invest it, also thinking about setting some money aside for grandchildren that they want to be able to control as to when they receive it. I was saying, Roger, I would consider having an advisor work with you, but I'd interview two or three that allows you to find the one that's the best fit, unless you're just wanting to do this yourself. Secondly, you know, you're probably going to have some capital gains long term if you've held the property over a year. Most people pay 15% on that as far as capital gains. It could go as high as 20% if you're married filing jointly, if that capital gain gets above roughly $550,000, that's when it would tip over into the 20%. So most people 15, you just don't want to get caught by surprise there. With the grandkids, you know, if it's not for college, and if it was, I'd say use a 529 college savings. But if it's not, and you want to control kind of when they receive it, what I would do is just set up brokerage accounts, in your name or you and your wife joint, but separate from other assets where you can kind of in your mind and for your own purposes, earmark them for the grandkids. That way it's not a custodial account where it automatically becomes theirs at the age of majority. You don't have to tell them about it, or you could, but you'd know what it's for. And then as you make either an initial contribution or systematic contributions moving forward, you could just dollar cost average into some good growth mutual funds that could grow over the next, 20 plus years. And you'd have quite a nest egg to be able to hand off to them at the time of your choosing. And whether, you designate that in your will or you have a trust that allows that money to be, passed over to them by way of the trustee at a certain age, that could be handled as a part of your estate planning. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, it would definitely be a trust set up to where it would be quick and easy. But we're just kind of afraid to give the money to them when they turn 18, because sometimes that can kind of bite them for the future.
Yeah.
Maybe looking, like I said, at 24 to where they might have a little more wisdom.
Yeah.
And then if they wanted to pay school debt or whatever, they could do that. But we first of all want to do God's will.
Yeah.
We've always tithed. We've always been blessed from tithing. So the whole thing first comes from God, which I didn't mention first of all.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. That's great. I'm glad you've been a faithful giver along the way. Clearly, God has honored that, and you've applied his principles and lived modestly, which is why you're living debt-free with margin and plenty of assets and thinking about the next generation. So those are all good things. I think you're right. That revocable trust could be really helpful here, because if you open these accounts, again, in your name, so you control them while you're alive, then you could set up in that trust that the trustee would take those assets that you've earmarked for the grandkids and pass them over, essentially distribute them at a certain age. And so you'd say at age 24, they get these accounts, and then that would happen, you know, beyond your life, no matter when you passed away, the trust would ensure that the trustee follows the trust provisions, including that, you know, that specific age where they'd receive those assets. So then the next step would be to set up those accounts, again, either, you know, probably joint in you and your wife's name, set up that revocable trust if you don't have it, make sure that that's spelled out, put those accounts in the name of the trust, or have the trust be the beneficiary, either one. And then the last thing would just be, how do you invest the assets? That could be either through a robo-advisor solution, or if you hired an advisor, that advisor could manage this as a part of the overall assets that he or she is managing. Or if you wanted to do it yourself, you know, to the extent you wanted your values aligned with your investments, I could give you a list of faith-based investing mutual funds to look at. I think any of those could work.
Yes, that would be great, especially the last thing you said. That's all of it makes sense, but especially that last part.
Yeah, great.
That's what we're really, really wanting.
Excellent. Yeah. So two things. One would be, if you did connect with a certified Kingdom advisor, when you do that search, you could say, only show me the list of CKs that do specifically faith-based investing, where they have the ability to offer investments that are screened for your values. So that would be one option if you want to delegate it. If you want to do it yourself and you got a pen handy, go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. I'll say it again, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That will allow you to download a free PDF document. It'll have the list of the roughly 15 faith-based investing fund families that we track. And, you know, I think any one of those could be a great option for you.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's go to Texas. Lalu, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Thank you, Rob. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got two questions here. The first is, I have my sister-in-law who, she's got this free cash, about $15,000-ish, that she's given us to help invest. For short, medium time, she's supposed to be in the U.S. in another 1 year, 1.5 years. And she just doesn't want to keep that in a savings account. We've explored a few options. We looked at CD, and we're just not very sure what's the best way to put that to work.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at this Chase self-directed investment, but it seems like that's pure stocks, and I don't want to gamble with her money since she really will be needing it. So that's the one question. The other question is, someone had pitched this life insurance to us, IUL, Index Universal Life, and it seemed very exciting with all of the protections, you know, but we're just still not sure, is this what we should be doing? It seems also very expensive. Yeah. We're 40, and, you know, to be able to really explore that, capital outlay for a 1 million life is about maybe $1,000 per month. And I just wanted to get your 2 cents on those.
Yeah, let me just clarify. So is the IUL for you, or would that be one of the things you're looking at for your sister?
No, the IUL would be for me.
I see.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, very good. Yeah, so let's tackle your sister's situation first. So what's the time horizon on this money? When do you think she's going to need to use it?
Thinking she might need it in another 1.5 years. 1.5 years, max in 2 years.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think the best thing to do with that would be just to put it either in a high yield savings account or a CD, where maybe you have, maybe you put it all in a 12 month CD, or you could put half in 12, half in 18 months, assuming you could get a better rate. You may not be able to, but, you know, right now you could get 4.5 to 5%. In the way of interest. I don't think you really want to look at anything else, because as you said, you know, if the time horizon is 18 months, you know, anything less than 5 years, we really don't want to risk it, because it's the return of the money, not the return on the money, that's paramount. The good news is you can get some great rates. I mean, our friends at Christian Community Credit Union, joinchristiancommunity.com, could be a great option for you with some phenomenal rates. You could look at CDs or high yield savings. Stay on the line, though. Let's tackle your second question after the break.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR. We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment, I perhaps have room for one more question, 800-525-7000. We have several great questions holding. We'll get to those in just a moment. Before the break, we were talking to Lalu in Texas. Lalu's sister is out of the U.S., and she's sent him $14,000 to put into a safe account that could earn a reasonable rate of return, but protecting it so that it's available when she needs it in about 18 months. And Lalu, I was saying the best option for that is probably a CD or a high yield savings. Our friends at Christian Community Credit Union could be helpful. JoinChristianCommunity.com. You could also go to a website called bankrate.com. If you click high yield savings or CDs, you can see who has the very best rates and terms right now. And, you know, that would allow you to get that into an account that has FDIC insurance. That means it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, but you'd get a reasonable rate of return, you know, over these next 18 months. You know, if you were to get 4.5% over the next year, that'd be another $630, and then another $300 after that for the 6 months of the year following, assuming you locked it in for that long. I mean, that could give you another $1,000 for her. It would, of course, be taxable. And if it's an account in your name, then, you know, you'd have to pay the tax on it. If it's in her name, you know, because she's international, we just need to think through the implications of that, you know, whether or not where her citizenship is, and she may have to get an ID number from, you know, the IRS and things like that. But, you know, those are all possible. As to your second question with the Index Universal Life, you know, these aren't my favorite solutions. You know, you point out that the appeal to these are that you have the downside protection normally. So you'd have a zero, you know, loss option or a floor where if the market index that it's tied to performs poorly, you have, you know, somewhere like a 0% or a 1% floor, meaning you won't lose money due to a market downturn. The downside, though, what you give up in order to get that downside protection is you give up, you know, the full upside, you know, and so, you know, often you will only get a certain percentage of that upside. And so it's going to cap your growth potential. The challenge there is when you look at how, you know, the market has performed over the last, take any time period, 100 years, and you look at the average annual rates of return for the Dow Jones or the S&P 500, they're pretty attractive. But the way you get those, you know, 9% annual returns is, you know, in large part due to those years where we saw a dramatic upward move in the market. Because when you factor in all the corrections and a couple of crashes and, you know, all of the real poor performing years, but when you factor in all of the wild upside years, you know, that's where you end up with these, you know, really attractive average annual rates of return. Well, you're not going to get that with the IUL because you're going to limit your growth potential because the insurance company is going to keep, you know, that upside beyond, you know, what you've, you know, they're allowing you to participate in. I think the other piece is they are complex. So, you know, just make sure you got to understand the mechanics and the fine print. They are expensive. They have insurance charges and administrative fees and policy expenses and, you know, those kinds of things. So, yes, they have a place for somebody who wants the peace of mind of knowing that they're not going to lose money. But in my view, I'd rather if you need life insurance, I'd buy term insurance just to cover the risk for as long as you need it during your working years, but pay as little as possible. And then I do your investing outside of an insurance product in just, you know, stocks and bonds, preferably in a tax efficient environment. Yes, you have the downside risk, but you get all the upside with it. And as long as you have the long time horizon, you know, and you're investing with proper diversification, at least historically speaking, it's the very best place to build wealth. But give me your thoughts on all that. I know I've thrown a lot at you.
Yeah. And these are really my concerns as well. And you captured those well. But, you know, the way they sold, one of the things they also sold for me was that you could also pull out of this money. Like if you have this savings and you have a project, you could borrow from it. And then it also has these health benefits, they say, meaning if, for instance, life happens and you're down with some kind of illness, it would also pay you some money. You know, life insurance will be when you die, and that would be for your beneficiaries. But they're saying it also has living benefits, they call it. So they presented it as got all of these great benefits and you know, I was just like, okay, it's looking very good to be true. Let me just check with an independent source and see, and see what you think.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you do have the cash value in addition to the death benefit. You could have a long-term care insurance rider on it. I mean, you know, there's what's called accelerated death benefit riders where they give you a portion of the death benefit if you experience a medical condition. All of that's true. I just find these things are complex. There's a lot of fine print. They're not all created equal. And so, again, I'd rather you just solve, you know, for each of these issues with a pure product instead of trying to bundle it all together, bundling your death benefit and your long-term care and your savings and all in one product, I just find is a bit more expensive way to go. You know, I'd rather you have a long-term care insurance policy if you need one, have a life insurance policy, and just invest in things that, you know, you have more control over, you get the full upside, and you can get access to the full amount of the money if you need it. If you find there's peace of mind that comes with one of these products, then I would at least get two or three different people to weigh in, because again, you know, these things are not all created equal, and there are some that are better and less expensive, less fees than others. And that's where I think an advisor could, you know, help you go out and look across the landscape. You know, last thing I'll say is most of the time these things are not bought, they're sold. Meaning somebody doesn't go out looking to buy an IUL, Index Universal Life. They get sold an IUL from somebody that, you know, has a lot of ideas on why this is, you know, a one size fits all solution. So I would just kind of take that with a grain of salt, be open-minded, get some wise, objective counsel from a fiduciary who's got to put your best interest first, not somebody who's going to make a bunch of commission, and see if this is, in fact, the right solution. It may be. I'm not totally against it. I just want you to get you know, some wise counsel, and perhaps that's where a certified Kingdom advisor could be helpful. We've covered a lot of ground, Lalu. Thank you for being on the program today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is James from Texas. And what I got is I've got an ex-wife. I'm taking care of all that. I'm paying back child support out of my Social Security. I have $1.75 million in property. I only owe $80,000. My issue is I have the wife that I've had for 20 years. And as soon as we got married, I started putting all the assets in her name. So all the properties, everything is in her name. In the event I die, I willed everything to her. She made a will out dividing the things between the children. My question is, what happens to me if she dies first? Because she's 69 and I'm fixed to be 67.
Yeah. And so you're wondering from an estate planning standpoint, you know, legally, you know, what would happen at that point if she passes right first? Is that right?
Yes, that's the only problem I got.
Okay. Well, you really need to get with an estate planning attorney. I mean, obviously somebody drafted your will and all of that. So this would be something you'd want to talk to that individual about, because it does have to do, you know, with the laws of your state. Now, she has a will as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you know, it's going to come down to, does she have a will? And it would be they would be distributed according to her wishes. How are the assets titled? Are they solely in her name?
Yes.
Which would go through probate if that's the case. You know, Texas is a community property state, meaning most assets acquired during marriage are jointly owned, even if only in her name. Some assets may be considered separate properties, so like, you know, assets from prior to marriage or inherited assets. You know, obviously, if she had a children from another relationship, you know, as community property, it might be split. You know, so I think what you need to do as a next step is get with an attorney, because these are legal matters. I'm not an attorney, and just make sure understand, based on the laws of your state, how everything's titled, what her will says, what your will says, given that perhaps there are children from a prior marriage, all of those things factored in, and understand, you know, what are the implications of the way you've currently set up your estate, and are there changes that are necessary so that you and she honor your wishes that you need to work out ahead of time together? Because the last thing we'd want is you both intend something to happen, but it doesn't happen because you haven't been properly planned. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yes, sir, it makes sense. But because of the laws of Texas, I'm not going to be kicked out in the cold, right? That's all I'm concerned about.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's where you need to get with an attorney, just so somebody can give you a legal opinion, which I can't do, on exactly what's going to happen, looking at everything. And so, you know, we need to get all of this information, the assets, the titling, the kids, prior to marriage, in marriage, when were the assets, you know, created. Some were going to be brought into the marriage. Others will be, you know, that assets that were, you know, created after your marriage. I mean, all of those things need to be factored in before you could get a definitive answer on what's going to happen. I wouldn't want to mislead you in any way without all the details in just a couple of minutes here on the radio. So you really do need some legal counsel. If you don't have a godly estate attorney, you could connect with a CKA there in Texas and ask for a referral. But I suspect the person who set this up originally for you could handle that just fine. We appreciate your call today, James. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you're thinking about this, because this is your last stewardship decision. You want to make sure your and your wife's wishes are honored as that takes place. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Covered a lot of ground. What a treat to be along with you, encourage you in your role as a steward. Big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, Mr. Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without him. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.